I just want to bring in Fevzi Turkalp now, editor of GadgetDetective.com, host of Gadget Detective podcast. Good morning, Fevzi.
Morning.
Good morning. Right. Oh, I just want to pick up on something that Martin said there. So we talk a lot about people phoning you and asking for details and claiming to be from your bank or claiming to be from your phone company and things like that. But is it just now, you know, understood that it is unlikely that your bank is ever going to phone you and ask you for personal details? Or can it still happen? Because people are worried about whether they should believe who the person on the other side of the phone is that person.
Yeah, you have to start from a position of not trusting that that person is who they say they are. And that's an unfortunate reflection on our society. But I've had to explain to people who I've been 99% sure are genuine, where they've asked me for certain information, they've rung me. I've said, well, I'm sorry, but you're asking me for information. I've been unable to verify who you are. You can give me your name, you can give me your department number, and then I can find that organization's details, contact details independently, and seek to verify whether that person is genuine or not. And you know, or if it doesn't sound terribly urgent, and scams often introduce an element of urgency to make you act before thinking. I've often said to people, you know, if you are genuine, write to me at the address you have for me on file.
Yeah.
And you know, put them to that trouble. And most people will understand. I mean, I've lost hospital appointments over this sort of thing because sometimes it's just not possible to easily verify that the person is who they say they are. Sometimes you can ask them to give you any information, but without you confirming any information, if they just need to communicate with you. But if it is a scam, typically they will try and introduce a sense of urgency. They'll try and panic you, try and get you to act without thinking. And that's what you mustn't do. You must take a pause for breath. If you're not absolutely certain, because people will say, oh, well, how did they know I had an account with this particular bank? But if they are contacting myriad people, then a certain, say 20% of people may have an account with that particular bank, and that 20% will then feel that this is like to be a genuine message.
Yeah.
So one has to, unfortunately, one has to start from the position of not trusting.
Yeah. So let's bring Fevzi back in at this moment in time, our editor of GadgetDetective.com. And Fevzi, you maybe have not a foolproof system, but you have a way to check if your data has been compromised. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So there are various things that you can and should do, and you know, there's common themes in all the stories that we've been hearing till date. So there is a website, for example, called Have I Been Pwned, P-O-N-E-D, where you can enter your email address. It is a legitimate website, and it tells you if that email address is associated with any known hacks. In other words, because if you have been hacked, then the information may be available on the web, so they can check. So you can then know to go and change those passwords. On the point of not using the same password on multiple accounts, that in order to help you do that, you should consider using something called password management software. So there's various ones out there like 1Password and LastPass. Most of them have free versions of their service. And what that does is it, first of all, generates passwords that are unique and unguessable for each service that you log on to, and then can auto-fill them for you. So all you have to do is protect one master password and have what's called second factor authentication. We can maybe mention that in a moment. And then if you do get hacked, then first of all, it's very, it is only that website, and they can't run it through a program and try 1,000 different organizations to see where else you've used it. But also, much easier to change your passwords when they're all controlled under one piece of software.
Yeah. Just very, very briefly, Fevzi, tell us a little bit about that second, what was that, second factor authentication, yeah.
Okay, so most online services that you use offer you the option of having second factor authentication. So the first factor is something you know, a password, but then a second factor can be, for example, a text message to your mobile phone, which you then have to key in and shouldn't share with anybody. Or it can be one of these little keys that look like a little USB memory key. It's called a YubiKey. And you have to physically have the key on you as well as the password. So even if someone tricks you you're subject to a phishing scam where they trick you into passing on your login credentials, they still won't get in because they don't own the second factor. So something you know, password, something you own, a YubiKey or your mobile phone, for example. And that will cut out a lot of this. And just one more thing, just be more cautious than ever now, because we've heard a lot about AI in recent weeks and months. And one of the major uses of these AI tools now is to produce scams that are at scale, you know, wholesale, bulk, you know, so I'm far more likely to be a victim of this. Far better English, so you can't often spot them because the language is broken. And now even we're seeing the voices of people being cloned. So you know that scam where you get a text message saying, oh, you know, your son's in hospital or your husband's in prison or whatever it is, and you need to send money. Now that can be even augmented with that person's voice being used to trick you. So you really need to be on your toes.
Wow, you do indeed, yeah. And I have had a couple of texts actually asking or talking about AI with us progressing in terms of technology. How much worse could this perhaps get? Thank you very much for that, Fevzi.